Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of life. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray that now again as we go into the scriptures, that the Spirit of God would guide us into all truth as Jesus has promised. And Lord, that you may take that truth and impress it upon our souls, that we may be sanctified, set apart, and Lord, that we may be prepared to live a life unashamed, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Good morning. A little bit better than yesterday. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Jeremiah, chapter 18. When you're there, you can say amen. All right, the Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Now, Jeremiah is a prophet of God. Normally, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 6, that if there be a prophet among you, I will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in dreams. So now, this is very different because God is coming to a prophet who he normally speaks to in visions or in dreams, and he says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. Now, apparently, there is only one potter because God doesn't need to identify him by name. He only needs to identify him by his profession or by his trade. He is not a potter in Jerusalem. He is the potter in Jerusalem. There is only one. The word the or the suggests the exclusion of any other. So that means he is the potter. And God tells Jeremiah, I'm not going to speak to you in the normal fashion. If you want to hear what I have to say, you have to go down to the potter's house. And God says, when you go down to the potter's house, I will cause you to hear my words. So Jeremiah is obedient. In verse 3, the Bible says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. So as he goes down to the potter's house, he realizes that the potter is inside his house. The potter is there. And the Bible says, there he was, making something at the wheel. So in other words, Jeremiah says as he's coming down, apparently there are some windows in the potter's house, and as he's coming down the potter's driveway, as he's walking up through his yard, he can see through the windows that the potter is actually working on something. He is doing what a potter should be doing. He's making something on the potter's wheel, and as he's sitting down on the potter's wheel, they have a little pedal where they pump, and it causes it to spin. And as the clay is there and it's spinning, he puts his hands to start creating a vessel. He is making something at the wheel. So the potter was home. The potter was active inside of his house. But God still hasn't spoken to Jeremiah yet. The Bible goes on to say in verse 4, and the vessel that the potter was making of clay, it was marred. It was ruined in the hand of the potter. So, because the clay was ruined, Notice what the potter does. Jeremiah is observing all of these things. He realizes as the potter is making something at the wheel, all of a sudden, this clay, this vessel that he's trying to make, it becomes ruined. It becomes messed up in the hands of the potter, and the potter has a decision to make. Does he continue to work with this clay, or does he throw it away? What he decides to do, according to verse 4, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Now, God is ready to speak to Jeremiah. And he says to him in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the hand of the pot, in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So this means that this message is for the people of God. Does God have any people here this morning? Yes or no? So if God has people here this morning, then Jeremiah 18 is for you. And God says you have to now go back to the beginning of the experience to recognize that the potter was a symbol of God. That God is the potter and his people are the clay. And so when we start now from the beginning, the Bible says that when God is the potter, Jeremiah says that God told him, you can't just hear God's word in any place. If you want to hear a message from the Lord, you have to go down to the potter's house. And so when we gather together for a NAS Congress here in Kumasi, because this place, normally a university lecture hall, normally a place where academic studies are pursued, because we have now sanctified this place as the very space by which the Word of God is preached, as the very space in which God is worshipped, this has now become the potter's house. Which is why you have come, because you want to hear the Word of the Lord. You want to hear what God has to say to His people. But as you go down to the potter's house, God is no different than the potter in Jeremiah 18. And I'm glad that God is not different than this potter, because Jeremiah could have gone to the potter's house and the potter was now home. But you see, when you go down to the potter's house, because there's only one potter in town, you don't even need to know his name. You know him by what he can do. He is the potter. He's not a potter. He is the only potter in town. And as he is the only potter in town, when you go down and I go down to the potter's house, the potter is going to be in his house. So if we have come to this place of worship and this is indeed the potter's house, then God is here. The potter is in his house and he's not just kicking back on the couch watching Netflix. He's not checking his social media updates. The potter is in his house and he is making something. He is working at the wheel. Day after day after day, as we come to this place to worship God, as there are churches all around, camp meetings taking place, the potter is in his house and he is making something at the wheel. You see, we have to recognize that when Jeremiah was watching the potter, it is very easy to start judging the clay. Wait, God is making something. And what if Jeremiah judged the potter's work based on something that was unfinished? You see, as people come here to the NAS Congress, as people come to the potter's house, and the potter is working, God is moving, God is active, God is making something at the wheel, but some people, they like to judge God's work before it's done. You cannot judge creation on day two and determine what kind of creator he is. You have to wait until he has ended his work. You cannot judge God's work in the lives of someone here today. We will look and say, oh, that sister, look at her skirt is too short. Look at that brother, he's flirting with all the girls. Look at that brother over there, he doesn't even have a Bible when he comes to worship. Look at that sister, she's falling asleep in the meetings. But you see, we don't recognize that the potter is working on something. You know, my first daughter, when she was coming up and we would have family worship, when she was 1 year old, her favorite song was, "He's Still Working on Me." So we used to sing this song all the time. It reminded me of Jeremiah 18. That when God was working on something, we have to recognize when we see a person that may not be the perfect Christian, when we see a person who says, "I am trying to live a radically unashamed life, but God is not finished with me yet." We need to be thinking about that song that, you know, when you're going driving on the road and there is construction, you say, "Well, I want to drive on this road." They say, "Well, this road is unfinished. You need to take a detour. You have to go around." You see, when somebody is being worked on by the divine potter, they are a work in progress. You have to take a detour. You have to save your judgment for another time. Don't judge the road before it is done. And you should not judge a soul before God has ended his work. We sometimes judge people as if God is finished, when God is not finished. The potter is working on something. And that means that even as we try to live an unashamed lifestyle, we may come along and God is working on us and God is molding us, but he is not done yet. And so the song says, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge it yet. There are unfinished parts. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands, because he's still working on me." Brothers and sisters, it is easy for us to judge people and say, "Oh, that one is radical, that one is not radical," when the potter is in his house and he is working on something. This morning, we should not be discouraged because we have not arrived. We should not be discouraged because we are not as radical as that person. God is still working on us. He is still working at the wheel. He is making something. Let us not judge the work of God before God is finished. So easily we can come even to events like these and we start judging it based on day number two. But God is not finished yet. It was interesting. My driver was picking me up yesterday and I asked him, I said, "How many NAS congresses have you been to?" He said, "8. I said, "8? Okay. I said, "Which one impacted you the most? Which one was your favorite?" He said, "This one is not done yet," which is the correct answer. Because it is true. If you don't include this one, you have already written it off. "Oh yeah, this one, no, it can't be my favorite. It is not done yet." Because it is unfinished, you cannot judge the unfinished work of God. We have no idea what God may do in someone's life or many of our lives by Saturday night. We have no idea what God has in store for us. We have no idea what miracles may lay before us because the potter is in his house and the potter is working. And I know the potter is working because I have seen you come for appeals. I've seen people surrender. I've seen people approach the altar of God in tears because the potter is in his house. Because the potter is working. But you see, God is no fool. As he's working on these vessels, the Bible says in Jeremiah 18, that while he was working on it, verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay. It was ruined. It was ruined in the hands of the potter. It is amazing that many of us face a very serious danger. And that danger is that we will listen to this theme, radically unashamed, and we'll think we're going to leave here on Sunday morning, and we're like, all right, I'm radically unashamed. I'm going to go back and do this. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to be going back to our colleges and universities and our professional lives. We're going to say, yes, Lord, I'm radically unashamed. And then about 2 days, 3 days, 4 days pass by, and we're going to make a mistake. We're going to be ashamed. God is going to impress us. Hey, you should give your colleague one of these tracts. You're going to say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. Then you just became ashamed, and then you'll start beating yourself up. What is wrong with you? I thought you were radically unashamed. The time will come when you in your own mind have said to yourself, I am radically unashamed. I'm ready to go forward. And along the path of living a radically unashamed life, you and I will make a mistake. We will become ruined in the hands of the potter. You see, this is not just for us in terms of radically unashamed. This is also at the very heart of what it means to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, he was making something. And as he was making something, all of a sudden, along came a serpent and coerced this couple to partake of this tree. In the midst of partaking of this tree, what God was making in humanity, in the image of God, to reflect his glory, became ruined. And as it became ruined, the question was, what is the potter going to do with this clay? Is he going to say to himself, you know what? I'm tired of trying to work with this clay. I'm going to throw it out and get some new clay. But no, the Bible says, through Christ and through the redemption that Jesus has accomplished for us, the gospel is a constant message to us that even when we become ruined, even when we make mistakes, even when we make the biggest blunders of our lives, even when we go into the deepest, darkest wells of sin, God is not done with us. He is not going to say, you know what, I'm done with this clay. Because there's someone here this morning who is saying to themselves, but Sebastian, you don't understand how many times I have made this mistake. You don't understand how many times I have become ruined. You don't understand how many times I've been dealing with this sin over and over and over. I come up for the appeals, I pray for Jesus' power, and next week I'm making the same mistake again. And we think God is going to throw us to the wayside. God is saying, you know what? I am done with you. And there are many of us who have disqualified ourselves from ministry and from leadership because we have failed the Lord. But the Bible says, when we become ruined, we are still in the hands of the potter. You may have messed up. You may have given up your virginity. You may have messed around with drugs. You may have been struggling with pornography, masturbation. You may have been burdened down under knowing that you have taken exams on the Sabbath. You've done all kinds of things that you're saying to yourself, how can God bless me? How can God use me? And God is saying, I am the potter, you are the clay. You don't decide when you are done with me. I decide when I am done with you. And even though you are ruined, you are still in the hands of God. And we are still in his hands the very day that we leave this conference and we say to ourselves, how do I live a radically unashamed lifestyle? And the day comes where we're doing well, we're doing well, we're doing well, and then we make a mistake. How do we recover from this mistake is the key to living a radically unashamed lifestyle. We will never arrive at a radically unashamed lifestyle if we continue to beat ourselves down for the mistakes that we make. If we cannot recover from our failures, if we cannot recover from our mistakes, we will never arrive at where God wants us to be. We have transported ourselves from being the clay to being the potter. But God is the only potter. No preacher is the potter. No pastor is the potter. No conference president or union president or division president or GC president is the potter. There is only one. And that one potter says, while you have been ruined, you are still in my hands. Young woman, do not burden yourself because you sold your sexual purity in a mistake, in a moment of passion, but you are still in God's hands. Just because you got some girl pregnant outside of marriage, young man, you are still in the hands of God. God is not finished with you yet. And He says in His Word that so the potter decided to make it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. It may very well be that God's original purpose for you might not be accomplished the way He wanted, but God says, I'm not done. I'm going to make you another vessel. I'm going to turn you into something else that I can use. Now that seems good to you, because you'll sit and say, well, you know what? I messed up. I made a mistake, so I can't be an elder, but I can be a deacon. Well, you know, I messed up, so I will be an usher, but I can't be on a committee. I messed up, so I can't serve as a president of an Adventist group. I will just serve as the secretary. No, 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 no. We're trying to become another vessel as seems good to us to make. But the Bible says that God likes to make us another vessel as seems good to Him. In your mind, you would say, Lord, I'm not worthy. And God is like, you're right, you were never worthy. All of a sudden, He takes humanity from being made a little lower than the angels in His creation. Humanity sins and becomes ruined in the hands of God. And now God says, these same sinful human beings will one day judge angels. I will make you another vessel as seems good to me to make. God is not finished with us. Just because we have made a mistake, just because we have sinned, there is no question that sin ruins the human experience. There is no question that sin and iniquities and repeated offenses of God disrupt His purpose for our lives. But it does not totally count us out, brothers and sisters. God is the one that decides when He is done with us. And the very fact that we are here this morning, the very fact that God is speaking to your heart right now, should be letting you and me know that God is not done with us. He says, I'm going to make you another vessel as seems good to me. But God only has one question. He doesn't say at the end of the story, that's it. He tells Jeremiah, this is what I want you to say to my people. Can I not do with you as this potter has done with this clay? In other words, in order for me to make you again, I need your permission. God is looking at us and He is saying, you are ruined. You are still in my hands. And God has a question. You see what this potter did with that clay? Cannot I do that with you? Do you believe that I can make you again? Do you believe that God can make you again? Will you allow me, Jesus says, to make you into another vessel as seems good to me to make it? Every single Christian goes through struggles and trials and failures. Everyone. But those that go on to live radically unashamed lives are the ones that recover from the failure. If we cannot bounce back from the ruinous decisions that we make in life, we will never become radically unashamed. Nothing will kill our radical commitment to Christ faster than discouragement and an unwillingness to get back up when we have fallen. Nothing will kill it faster. Soon as we make a mistake, we say, I'm disqualified. God says, that's not what I say. I can make you again, but are you willing to agree with me? Do you believe what I believe? Because in your failure, in your sin, in your struggle, God says, I believe, Sebastian, I can make you again. I believe that I can make you another vessel. And I have an idea of what I want to make you. It seems really good to me. Guess what? When God says something is good, that takes your mind back to Genesis chapter 1. Because good in God's mind is perfect. God looked and He saw the light and He saw that it was good. God's purpose for us will be just as good as light. All we have to say is, yes, Lord, you can make me again. Brothers and sisters, God wants to make us again. I remember I was presenting this message, and a woman came up to me. She shook my hand and she said, Brother Sebastian, I am a potter and I'd like to talk to you. I said, please. So we sat down and I said, tell me about your experience. She says, you know, in order to be a potter, there's two things you must have. The first one is patience. The second thing you must have are gentle hands. She says, as you're spinning the clay on the wheel, she says, it is amazing because you think to yourself, I'm going to make this clay into a cup. But as you're spinning on the wheel and your hands are molding it, she says, the clay will collapse in your hands and will say, no, I want to be a plate, not a cup. I said, really? She says, it is really interesting. Trust me. I want to make a cup, it says I want to be a plate. I want to make a plate, it says it wants to be a cup. And she says, if you force the clay to be what you want it to be, you will ruin the clay. It will fall apart and you cannot mold it. So she says, you cannot force the clay. You have to allow your hands to rub up against the clay to continue to mold it. Immediately my mind said, ah, I get it. That when God says He is the potter, we must be reminded that the hands of God are not just His word, it is also His providence and leading in our lives. But guess what, brothers and sisters? I was encouraged to speak to her because she helped me to see that God, as the divine potter in heaven, He has gentle hands. God will not injure us by His providence. God will not force us to be what He wants us to be. He will place His hands around us. He will lightly press to mold us patiently into what He wants us to be. And then she told me, and after finally the vessel is done, He takes the clay, and because it has now achieved the form and the shape that seems good to the potter, He takes that clay and He puts it in the furnace. He puts it in the fire. And why does He put it in the fire? She says, because He wants the clay to forever retain the form that He has achieved. So it cannot be bent again. No other potter can remold it. So He will put it in the fire. And as He places the clay in the oven, He watches it to make sure it's not too hot, it's not too cold, and it perfectly takes form and solidifies into a vessel that He can use. Then He takes out the clay from the oven, forever retaining the form that He has made. And He opens up His shelf and He puts the vessel on His shelf to be used forever. When I was in college, I met a young woman who was Asian. We were classmates. She was a non-Adventist. One day I came by because I had called her for study group. She was crying. She was teared up. And I said, is everything all right? She said, no, it's fine, it's fine. So her roommate said, Sebastian, you should come by just to check on her. So I came by. Her roommate said, you know, she's in the living room. She's really emotionally broken. So I said, okay. So I sat down. I said, what's going on? She says, well, it's my ex-boyfriend. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you had a boyfriend. She says, well, it's kind of complicated. So she began to tell me the story of how they started dating about a year ago. And as they were dating, things escalated to where they should not have been. And they eventually slept together. And he was her first. So she didn't want to let this relationship go. She thought this was going to be the relationship, but a month later, he disappeared. Stopped returning her calls, emails, coming around, nothing. So she was emotionally broken. Then after another month, he would come in town. He would say, hey, I'm back in town. Let's get together. And she said, no, I don't want to talk to you. He says, trust me, I'm sorry for what happened. I apologize. He'll come back in town, and then they'll make up, and everything will be fine. They'll sleep together, and then he'll be gone again. This went on for months. And now it had just happened again. For who knows, the sixth, seventh time. Over a year. She says, I was wondering, what is wrong with me that I keep falling for this same foolishness again and again and again? And I said, why is it that you keep holding on to this relationship? Clearly, he doesn't love you. And that's when she shared with me, she said, but Sebastian, this is the problem. Is that because he was my first, in my mind, how can I go to another guy? As a Christian girl, knowing that I slept with someone else, was not married, we were not even engaged to get married. She says, I feel like used goods. No guy's going to want to be with me. And by this time, I mean, she was crying uncontrollably. She was emotionally broken. I said, sister, God can make you again. God can restore what you have lost. All you have to say is, "Yes, Lord, you can make me again." The clay only has one responsibility, and that is to surrender to the molding touch of the potter. Someone here this morning thinks that they have disqualified themselves from serving the Lord and all the ways their heart tells them they should serve because they have made a mistake. A mistake so bad that the Bible describes it as if you have ruined your life. But today, God is asking us a question. Can I make you again? What will your answer be? Is there someone here? You feel like your life is ruined. You feel like you've made such a terrible mistake. And you've tried to make yourself to a vessel, an object of service to God that seems good to you. But today, you hear Jesus' voice calling you. You hear Jesus asking you, "Can I not do with you as this potter?" If you want to say that, I want you to come right here to this altar. Come to Jesus. And Jesus says, "I can make you again." And by coming, you are saying, "Yes, Lord, you can make me again. Yes, Lord, I am still going to place my life in your hands." This is a serious appeal. This is not for everyone. You know in your own heart, in your own life, if the Lord is calling you and you want to say, "Yes, Lord, you can make me again. You will be the potter and I will be the clay." We cannot live a radically unashamed life when we are bogged down by the shame of our mistakes and failures. We have to learn to keep getting back up, believing that God is not done with us yet. God is not finished. God is not done with you. He can make you again into another vessel that seems good to Jesus Himself. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. No one thought there was any other use for God. But yet there was Mary at the tomb on resurrection morning. There was Mary anointing the feet of Jesus with that oil and drying and washing his feet with her hair. Moses made a mistake in killing that Egyptian. He thought God was done with him, but God was not done with him. He can make Moses again. Peter denied the Lord. He thought God was done with him, but Jesus made him again, because each and every one of them said, "Yes, Lord, you can make me again. As seems good to you, not to me." I am willing to surrender to the molding hands of the potter. Is there anyone else? The Lord is touching your heart, and you want to say, yes, Lord, you can make me again. Come. God knows your pain. God knows your shame. But even though you may feel ruined, you are still in His hands. God can make you again. Anyone else? Before we close in prayer, come as the Lord is bidding you to come. Do not resist Him. Do not be afraid. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain by coming so the Lord can make you again another vessel. Last call. Last call. You want to say, yes, Lord, you can make me again. Come. Believe in God's belief in you. He believes He can make you again. How can we not believe it? Come. The Lord knows. Let us pray, Father in heaven. Lord, there are days. There are days that are dark, so dark that they seem to blot out the light of the sun. There are moments, Lord, so dark that even the light of the moon and of the stars is not enough to pierce it. And in those days and in those moments, Lord, we think we shall never again see the light. Lord, we think as if our fate is sealed and there is no more hope for change. But this morning, the light has pierced the darkness. Lord, the Sun of Righteousness has arisen over the horizon of our hearts and has come with healing in His wings. Lord, we have come to the potter's house. And each of us have come up front to this stage because we want to come to the potter's wheel, believing that though we have made terrible mistakes, though we have committed shameful sins, though we have crossed the line in ways that we think we cannot come back, we are encouraged to know the good news that Jesus can make us again. Another vessel, as seems good to Him. So we have come, Lord, to say, yes, Lord, you can make us again. Yes, Lord, we are going to surrender to the hands of the divine potter, knowing that the heavenly potter has gentle hands. Lord, we will no longer judge ourselves when we are unfinished, but we will trust the process that He that has begun a good work, He will complete it. Lord, you're not done with us yet. And we say hallelujah that God is not done with us yet. But God has a plan. God has a vision for our lives. And Lord, as we continue to surrender and say, yes, Lord, you will mold us into the vessels you have called us to be. Father, we love you for being who you are. Not just our Heavenly Father, but our heavenly potter. Send us from this place confident in your blessing, confident in your restoration through Jesus Christ, confident that you will recover us. You will restore all that we have lost. And you will make us again. And Father, we look forward to that day when we can become, when we come face to face with that heavenly potter. And he looks upon us and say, now you have become what I always saw you to be. Lord, keep us faithful until that day is our prayer in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.